You out there? You ready to go? It is good. Luke, that was awesome. Are you guys encouraged? God is real and he works. God is real and he works in this life. That is awesome. Listen, I am so thankful to be here this morning with you. Doesn't the building look good? Ah, it's so pretty. You know, and I am so thankful that God gave this to us and so thankful that through you and others and their generosity, we have a place to gather, but I have a secret to tell you. Well, all right, this is great. I'm here throughout the week, and this place is dead. Seriously, the walls do not speak, and the chairs do not sing out. This place is dead. And yet on Sunday morning and other places, when you all come in here and you all gather and you begin to sing and share with one another, the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. Do you sense it? We are in the third part of our It Matters That You're Here series, where we're walking through the different pictures of the church. This morning, we get to talk about you are the temple of God. You, church, are the priesthood of God. What in the world is that? Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We need your help to understand. So we're standing before you right now. Would you teach us? Because we want to be who you made us to be, who you redeemed us to be. We want to encounter you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, pull out your Bible if you have it, or your app, or whatever you have, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. It'll be up here, but you know what? There'll be other things up here. Just open your Bible and just stay right there. Don't flip with me. I'll share some other things, but just open to 1 Peter chapter 2. That's what we're gonna read through this morning. And I want to set the stage here. Peter is writing to the churches in Asia Minor. They are mostly Gentile churches where there is pagan worship. And these are new believers in new churches, and they were being oppressed mostly by society. So it wasn't like institutional oppression, it was more society. So they were being slandered, and they were being pressured to conform their lifestyle and their worship to their local community. And they were tempted to kind of go back. And so Peter is writing to these new churches in these situations, and this is what he says in chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which also they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord, right? Amen. I want to draw your attention to what Peter is saying about the church here in this passage. What he is saying about those who are under pressure to conform to the local lifestyle and worship. He says, you are being built into a spiritual house. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That is who you are, church. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Why does it matter that you're here? You have priestly duties to fulfill. If you're a Christian, you have priestly duties to fulfill. What in the world is that? Now, let me just say this. When we're talking about a priest, not many of us have not been raised up with priests and offering animal sacrifices. In fact, I would say all of us, maybe. Maybe not all of us. But this is old, right? When Peter's writing this, this priesthood that he talks about, he's comparing the church to the Jewish priesthood. This is like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old for him. For us, we're talking about thousands of years old. And so to understand what this means, what God has called us to, we're going to go back to the establishment of the priesthood. And we're hoping that the founding will shed light on what Peter is trying to communicate to us as the church, what we're supposed to do. So we're going to go all the way. So hang on. Okay, keep your Bibles. 1 Peter 2. Just keep it right there. All right? We're going to go all the way back to the Exodus. All the way back when the Jews were in captivity, they were in captivity in Egypt. And God had called Moses and Aaron to lead them out of slavery to the promised land. And there were several plagues that God sent on the land to kind of get Pharaoh to let them go. And the final plague was simply this, that he would send the angel of death through the land, and the angel of death would kill every firstborn son, every firstborn animal. And in that plague, Pharaoh would relent. That's intense. And yet God said to Moses, tell the people that if you will slaughter a spotless lamb, and you put the blood on the door frame of it, the angel of death will pass you by. That's intense. So what was happening here is that each family, when they put the blood on the door, they did several things. This was an act of faith, was it not? It was an act of faith to say, God, I believe you. I believe you. Now, there were several other plagues that happened, so it was probably easier to believe, but hey, they believed God. It was an act of faith. So I'm going to take something very precious to me, a spotless lamb, very precious, and I'm going to slaughter it, and I'm going to put the blood on the door. So it was an act of worship. It was a sacrifice of worship. It was an act of faith and then a sacrificial worship because I'm giving something that is valuable and I am saying, God, you're more valuable. This is valuable to me, but you're more. And so I'm sacrificing. Isn't that awesome? Kind of crazy. And then this happens. But what's even more is this is an act of redemption. Because what was the cost of the freedom of the Jewish people? What was the cost? It was the death of their own firstborn son. That was the cost. But God said, if you do this, you will buy back. The angel of death will pass over. The death of this lamb will buy back your firstborn son. That is what redemption means, to buy back. They were lost. But through the blood of this lamb, they were brought back so they could live. So this is God bringing his people out of Egypt. And as he leads them, so he does this. And he leads them out, and they're going out into the desert. And he's leading them to the promised land. And then in Exodus, the Lord says this to them. Says the Lord brings you in, after the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your ancestors, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. You are to give over the first offspring of every womb. In other words, the firstborn of everything is the Lord's. So every animal, firstborn animal, was to be given to the Lord. And every firstborn son was the Lord's. And so each son, the firstborn son, after a month after his birth, the family would present them before the Lord, and then they could redeem him back by paying no more than 5 shekels. Okay? So they had to go, and they were the Lord's, and so We throw some cash in the offering and you get them back. He was redeemed. What was this? This was worship. This was saying, God, you are worth more to me than all these animals, so I give them to you. You are worth more to me than my firstborn son, and so I present him to you. And the Lord in his gracious provided a way to win him back, to buy him back. It's redemption. Isn't that cool? It's amazing. But there's another reason for this. God told him, you do this, and when you do this, what's going to happen is your other children and the people around you are going, why in the world are we doing this? Why do you go and after a month and you throw money in and bring your son? Why do we do this? And God says, you are to tell them because the Lord delivered you and he brought you out of captivity and he saved you. This is why we do it. The Lord has redeemed his people. And so it's an act of remembering. So it's worship, redemption, sacrifice, and remembering. This is what they were to do. A little bit later, as he's leading, continuing to lead them out, he says this through Moses. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Where have you heard that before? 1 Peter, you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So the Jewish people were to be a kingdom of priests, people, a whole nation that would stand between God and the entire world and to call them back to him. That was the purpose. I'm making you a kingdom of priests. They would display to the world by their actions and their worship and what they do, who God is, that they might know him, that their descendants might know him, and that the world might know him. A kingdom of priests. Now, as they continue to move on, Moses goes up the mountain, he gets the Ten Commandments. You know the story, you can watch the movie, right? He comes down, he gets the Ten Commandments, he gets the organization for the people, what they're supposed to do. He says, you're gonna put a tabernacle right in the middle, later becomes the temple. And that's going to be my presence. And you are going to set aside the entire tribe of Levi. So of the 12 tribes of Israel, one tribe is dedicated to me, the tribe of Levi. All 11 other tribes, you're going to get a plots of land in the promised land. But the Levites get no land. Their inheritance is the Lord. And they will be in cities around the whole nation. And there, that the Levites will be set aside to serve the Lord. Now, the Levites, generally, they took care of taking down the tabernacle and putting it back up and washing it. They were in charge of the worship, the music, the all the stuff you had to do. They would do the organization so the people could worship and know him. Now, out of the Levites, there was a few, which were Aaron's sons, who were the priests. And the priests were the ones who offered the sacrifices. And then out of the priests was Aaron and then his descendants. And he was what? High priest. So Aaron was the high priest. Well done, yeah. Yeah, it's a fist bump. So Aaron is the high priest, and his responsibility, he was the only one that could enter the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifice that is for the sins of all Israel. He was the only one who could do it. And so you have this complete tribe set apart for worship of God. Rick, I thought you said that the firstborn son was the Lord's. I'm really glad you asked that. That was a great question, and it was really insightful. Why? I thought the firstborn was to do. Why couldn't? I thought they were a kingdom of priests, and why couldn't they all participate in this? There's a reason. When Moses came down the mountain, he saw them worshiping a god they created, and Moses said, as he stood by the gates, who will stand with me and for the Lord? And the tribe of Levi was the only complete tribe to come and stand by Moses' side. And in so doing, the other 11 tribes, they forfeited the honor of serving as priests in the kingdom of God, in the Israelite kingdom. And so because they made other gods, they could not function as priests, though the nation itself was a priesthood still to call others. This is the background. This is the background by which we read 1 Peter 2. Let's go back. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And then it goes on. So God is making a new building, and this new building is alive. It's a new priesthood, a new building, a new priesthood. And the stones, we're the stones. And we're alive. We are both the building, the temple, because the Holy Spirit now resides within us, and we are the priesthood. Both the building, temple, and the priesthood. Isn't that awesome? Why does it matter that you're here? That you come? That you gather in church and in home group? Because you are priests of God. And you're to offer spiritual sacrifices. Awesome. We're the animals. We're the animals. This passage says that we're to offer spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. And what we know is that Jesus is the living stone, the cornerstone, and he is the foundation by which everything, the church, everything is built on him, right? We know that from the passage. Everything is built on him. He went to the cross. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the great high priest. He took on the great high priesthood, and he didn't enter the sanctuary on earth. He entered the sanctuary in heaven. And he did not enter by the blood of goats or calves. He entered by his very own blood. So he is both high priest and sacrifice. He is both high priest and sacrifice. Could there be? See, here's the interesting thing. God sacrificed the firstborn over all creation that you and I might be free. That you and I might be redeemed. And there was no other payment that would satisfy. No lamb, no goat. There was no other payment that death could pass over Jesus and that we would be free. So Jesus went to the cross. And the firstborn of creation was sacrificed that we might be free. That is the gospel. And it's amazing. And that is why in Acts, Peter declares, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. There's no other religion that will do it, not another philosophy, no other political system, not your own effort or righteousness that will bring salvation. Jesus brings salvation. And if you put your trust in anything else, he becomes the rock by which you will fall. There is no salvation but Jesus. So if Jesus paid it all, what about our priestly duties? What are we supposed to do? He's the high priest. He's the sacrifice. Awesome. No animals. Done with that. He's the final sacrifice. 1 Peter 9. But you are these things, a royal priesthood, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I believe this is a greater telling of verse 5. You, brothers and sisters, are called to declare the praises of God. You're called to do it. This is your sacrifice. This is your offering, is to declare what God has done. And Luke got up here and he told you his story. And he acted the priest, right? He offered to us. He declared what God had done in his life. And we come to sing because he's worthy. It is worship, right? We worship him. Worship is worth-ship, right? So we are to come and say, Lord, you're worth more than anything else. And we declare what you have done. This is what it means to be a priest. Nowadays, we're called to worship. We're called to remember the redemption that we have. We do that at the Lord's table, right? This is what we're called for, our priestly duty. Who do we declare this to? We declare it to God, and we declare it to one another first. We declare it to one another first, and then we declare it out there. That's what it means to be a priest. So we declare it to God and to one another, and then we declare it out there to the Lord. Listen, a disciple of Jesus lives lifestyles of worship, community, and mission, right? You're going to hear that till ad nauseum, okay? A disciple commits themselves to the rhythm, life and rhythms of their church community. Why? That they might declare the praises of him who called them out of darkness into his glorious light. We come to church on Sunday to worship and declare the praises of God. That is our priestly responsibility. We go on home group and we're able to pray for one another and know one another and declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his glorious might. This is your spiritual act of priesthood or whatever. One guy wrote a sermon, says, you're all Catholic priests. Because Catholic means everything, right? Well, anyway, I was raised Catholic, so that was funny to me. Don't worry about it. We'll keep going. Why must we do this? Why must we be responsible? God redeemed us. You were not a people, and now you're the people of God. You did not have mercy, and now you have mercy. God redeemed you, and he tells you to do it. That's the first reason. But here's the great thing about our Lord. He's not just Lord. He also calls us friends. And so he tells us what he's doing too. So if it was just he told you to do it, he redeemed you, you should do it. You should gather. But there's another thing. We do it because in here we need to declare him so that we find the courage and power to do it out there. We declare to one another. We are priests to one another so that we can do it out there to those who don't know him. Amen. Augustine taught that our hearts are disordered, which means the things we love fourth and fifth, we love the most. And so prayer and worship reorders our hearts so that we worship the most important thing, which is God himself. And we continually put him, Lord, I have put other things ahead of you. I'm putting you first. So we need to do that because we're drawn to other things. That is why scripture says in Hebrews, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We're to encourage one another so that we won't be hardened by sin. Sound good? This is not hard. But it is an act of worship and it is an act of sacrifice. And it is an act of saying, I will live for Jesus and I will not conform to this world. I will be a priest. Now listen, I want to give you two things. A priestly mentality. What is a priestly mentality when you show up here? First one is this. To show up. Show up. And to serve. To show up and to serve. Listen. Go to church for God's sake. And I mean that literally. Go to home group, for God's sake. And I mean that literally. We are to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his glorious light to one another. Before the pandemic, the study said that of committed Christians, they attend a worship service 3 out of 8 Sundays. The most committed Christians go to church 3 out of 8 Sundays. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, and God is a gracious God. But if we attend service just over a quarter of the time, what does that tell us about our commitment to worship? Furthermore, what does that tell the next generation, who is our future, about the importance of the Lord and worship? And furthermore, what does that say to those out there? Now, God is gracious, and there's a pandemic, and that's why we do the live stream. Because for some of us, our faith or our conscience doesn't allow us to gather. So do it on Zoom, for goodness sake. Show up. A priest shows up. Second thing is a priest serves. A priest serves. When I was a young father, I used to say this. What are you doing? Someone asked me, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm babysitting my kids. How'd that go over with my wife? She would not, you are not babysitting your kids. You are spending time with your children. I have the same feeling about when we talk about, would you volunteer for the church? You're not volunteering. You are serving the body of Christ. It is your duty and your responsibility as a priest of God. Amen? Amen. Now, there are times, and there's a lot of grace. As a priest, we're called to show up and to serve. So look for ways to serve. And sometimes you might not have official thing. You know, it's Sunday morning. It could be hospitality or hosting a home group, whatever it is. It could be you could have official role. But how about this? How about showing up early and staying a little late? And we have this thing called 15 Forever. Do you remember? Does anyone know what 15 Forever is anymore? Okay. This little thing, and all it is I'm going to spend the first 15 minutes after church, and I'm not going to talk to my friends. I'm going to look, is there anyone I don't know? And I'm going to just engage them because God loves them. And maybe I'll ask them how the service was. And I do this because God loves them. And we might have opportunity to love one another. So do that. Sound good? Awesome. Church, you're the priest of God. You are the temple of God. Let's live it. Let's live this. Let's not lose the honor of our priesthood because we begin to prioritize the things of this life over the things of God, like the other 11 tribes. Sound good? Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that you've brought us into it. It is an honor. It's an actual honor that you've given us. And so, Lord, we want to be responsible, but we know that when we walk with you, you transform our life and we experience you. And so, Father in heaven, touch our heart. Lord, thank you that you don't lay on us burdens we cannot bear, but you, by your Spirit, empower us. Lord, let this community live out its responsibility to this world and to one another in Jesus' name. Amen.